children from preschool and elementary all the way up to sixth grade. Any sixth graders who are interested in going down for Children's Church to be able to help are invited to go down as well. And following the service this morning, parents, grandparents, guardians would pick up their children down in the fellowship hall. So look forward next week to baptism and celebrating that here in the service. And today we have the second and final message in a short series on Raised to New Life on baptism. And I invite you, if you have a Bible with you, to open it to the book of 2 Corinthians, to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to look at four passages this morning on this topic of changed. The first will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where one of the verses we looked at last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you find that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then two Corinthian letters, the 2 Corinthian letter, chapter 5, verse 17. Last week, as we closed the message on baptism 101, what it was all about, I shared a number of times in the message about the illustration of a wedding ring in relationship to what it means or how it kind of illustrates baptism, that this ring does not make me married, but it is an outward demonstration, an outward sign of an inward commitment that I had made to Steph, my wife. And I mentioned at the end of the message last week how if I had waited until I was a perfect man or a perfect husband to get married, I would not be married today. And I don't think there'd be anybody who would be married today, because if you're waiting for perfection, it's just not going to happen. There's always going to be something that you're growing into. And it is that demonstration of saying, I do, I say yes. And it is the commitment that for the rest of my life, my answer is yes. For whatever changes I need to make, my answer is yes. My answer is already yes. And so we talked about this fact that in a moment, everything changed. Everything changed for me on June 1st, 2002, when I said yes. I said I do. And I now, and the pastor said, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Everything changed. But progressively, over the last almost now 19 years, there has been a lot of change in me as God has worked in my life, as God has transformed me, as God has used marriage to be able to transform me, of showing things in my life that needed to change. It was a progressive application of that decision that I said, yes, I do, almost now 19 years ago. It's the same way with baptism. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says this. We looked at this verse quickly last week. Paul says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. This is one of those verses that we love to celebrate, but the question that we often need to wrestle with, and we need to wrestle with this morning, is what does it actually look like? What actually takes place when we move from the old creation to the new creation? When we make that decision to say yes to Jesus, what does it actually mean? What actually happens? Because in baptism, we are saying positionally, I am in Christ. I am a new creation. But in baptism, we're also saying, as the future comes, as every day comes more and more, I am going to be progressively changed. I'm not going to stay the way I was. I am going to be progressively changed into the image and likeness of Jesus. And so this morning, this idea of change, raised to new life, we are changed. We want to be able to talk about three areas that we have been changed in. If you're a believer in Christ, that you have been changed in your standing before God, and the ways that those three areas then affect our progressive changing to become more and more according to that new place in Jesus. So what does it mean for us? Three ways that we've changed, and three ways then, those three ways, how we are being changed in each of them. All right? So the first area when we come to Christ, that baptism signifies is that we have been changed from death to life. John chapter 5. So if you're in 2 Corinthians, make your way towards the front of the Bible a little bit. 1 Corinthians, then Romans, then Acts, then John. John chapter 5, verses 24 through 27. In this passage in John chapter 5, a little context beginning in verse 16, Jesus has been speaking about the fact that the Father is always working. And that as the Father is working, the Son joins him, and the Son does whatever he sees the Father doing, that the Son doesn't do anything unless the Father is doing it, even that the Son cannot do anything unless he sees the Father doing it. He goes on in verses 19 through 23 and gives some other areas. He says that in not only in the work that the Father is doing, they are in interdependence, they're working together, but they have this love for each other. That just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so the Son is able to raise the dead and give life. And just as the Father is able to judge, he has entrusted judgment into the Son's hand so that everyone who would honor the Father would honor the Son. There's this interdependent relationship. Which brings us to verse 24 through 27, which Jesus says this. I tell you the truth, John 5, 24. Whoever hears my word and believes him, God the Father who sent me, has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. Tell you the truth, the time's coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. What's Jesus saying? He's saying that by hearing the word of Jesus, you're hearing the word of the Father. And that by believing the word of Jesus, you are believing the word of the Father. That it is the same. If you hear and believe Jesus, you are hearing and believing the Father who sent him. And because the Father has life and has given all life to the Son, by hearing and believing Jesus, those who trust him cross from death to life. They cross from death to life. Here's the reality that we need to be reminded of, or we need to hear maybe for the first time this morning. And that is every single person born into this world is born spiritually dead. Physically alive, but spiritually dead. And so when we come to a place where we hear the word of God, where we hear about Jesus, where we believe in him, and when we demonstrate that, baptism is a demonstration, I have heard the word of God, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that I have crossed over from death to life. There is this amazing reality that takes place in us. What was spiritually dead in us is now alive. We sang about it this morning. We've moved from death into life. Now, here's the problem in the church sometimes. We have made conversion, or we have made coming to be saved into this intellectual or behavioral experience. It's, I now believe this set of principles. And so I believe the right things, and I stop believing the wrong things. We've also made being saved or conversion about this behavior thing, that I used to do the wrong things, and now I'm going to start doing the right things. Now, certainly belief and behavior are a part, but it is the result of. Here is what happens. When we believe in Jesus, there is a supernatural experience with God through the person of the Holy Spirit, where he comes and he breathes into us and he brings what was dead in our spirit to life. Conversion and being saved is not just some, yeah, I believe it. It is a supernatural act of God whereby the Spirit of God washes us and gives us new life, rebirth. It's why Jesus said, if anyone's going to enter the kingdom of God, they must be born again. Why? Because we were spiritually dead. We were apart from Christ. It's not just a belief thing. It's not just a behavior thing. It is first and foremost a coming to life thing. The beliefs begin to change. The behaviors begin to change. But it is all possible because you have come to life. You were dead, and now you're alive. Oftentimes, I don't think that's the message that we preach. I think the messages we preach is believe the right things, behave the right way. No, that just turns into this works-related thing. We need a supernatural encounter with the living God through the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, whereby life comes where we were once dead. We should say, I've come alive. My testimony should be, I've come alive. I was once dead, and now I'm alive. That's salvation. That's salvation. You see, if it's just a behavior or an intellect change, it really just comes about the things I need to do or stop doing, to believe or stop believing. But when really it is about a nature change. Salvation is about a nature change, and baptism represents my nature has changed. I once was dead. Now I'm alive. That's our position. That's what we say when we say yes to baptism, we say yes to Jesus. I once was dead, now I'm alive. Something has come alive in me. And now for the rest of our lives, we get to experience the life that has come alive in us begin to flow through all the other areas of our lives. And that's where our beliefs begin to change. That's where our behaviors begin to change, because life comes and changes us from the inside out. That's the progression that we live in. I want you to imagine for a moment just a dead body. Heart stopped, lungs stopped breathing, the body is dead. Now what would happen if that body came back to life? Well, most likely, it would start with just a small heartbeat, right? I often wonder what it was like for Jesus with the resurrection, but I think this is what was going on. He had his dead body in the tomb. And all of a sudden, his heart just begins to beat. And then a little bit stronger. All of a sudden, his lungs begin to breathe in air and exhale slowly. Increasing, the heart beginning to beat faster normally. Air beginning to come in and out of the lungs. And as the air comes in and out of the lungs, as the heart begins to beat, blood begins to flow through the veins. And with the blood, there's oxygen in it, bringing life all throughout the body slowly. The brain begins to open up again and begins to fire. There's life in the brain once again. All of a sudden, consciousness slowly comes back. Eyes begin to open. Fingers slowly begin to move. Toes begin to move until life is fully in that dead body. See, that's what happens at conversion. In our spiritual life, we were dead. But when we come to faith in Jesus, life comes. We are supernaturally reborn of the Holy Spirit. We've moved from death to life. When we get in the baptism tank, we're saying, I once was dead, now I'm alive. And life is beginning to overtake me in ways I've never experienced before. And for the rest of my days, I want life to begin to increase more and more. And whatever that means for life, I say yes to. Baptism's pretty cool, isn't it? We've moved from death to life. We've had a nature change. What does it mean, secondly, to be changed? Anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, and the old is gone. We've moved from death to life. Secondly, we've moved from the kingdom of darkness to light. We've moved from the kingdom of darkness to light. If you're in John, move a few pages back, you'll come to Acts, Romans, you get to those two Corinthian letters, and then there's several small ones, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. In Colossians 1, there Paul is praying a prayer for the church in this city of Colossae, and he gives thanks to God for them in many ways, but as he comes to verse 12, he prays this. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In the midst of this prayer, Paul thanks God that they have been qualified through Christ to become sharers in the inheritance of the kingdom of light, of the saints in the kingdom of light. And he says this, there was a supernatural change. When you were brought from death to life, you were also transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. This is where we need faith sometimes, because we may not have felt that all the time. But there is a legal transaction that took place. You once were a, before Christ, you once resided in, and you once were held captive in the kingdom of darkness. Satan was your ruler. Sin was your ruler. Death was your ruler. Those are the things, the works of the kingdom of darkness. Death, sin, enslavement. Those were all true of each one of us before Christ. But Paul says, thanks be to God. He's qualified us through Christ, through redemption. That's why we sang, redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been forgiven of our sins, and we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, from being enslaved by death and sin and the enemy, and we have been brought into the kingdom of light and life, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news, right? This is a supernatural, amazing message. Death to life, kingdom of darkness to kingdom of light. This is the change that we have received. No longer does Satan have claim on you. No longer does death have claim on you. No longer does the power of sin have claim on you. Jesus has claim on you, because you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. When you get in that baptism, when a person gets in that baptism tank, they're declaring, I was once in the kingdom of darkness. Now I'm in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, the kingdom ruled by Jesus. In Ephesians 5:8, Paul says it this way, once you were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. See, the place that we reside affects who we are. We'll look at that in a little bit as we would come to a close in this message in a moment. It's our position. Our position once was the kingdom of darkness. Now it is the kingdom of light. Progressively, however, here's where we also need to wrestle with. That in getting in that baptism tank and saying, yes, that is true of me, we're also saying that I am also saying no to the works of the enemy on my life from before, when I was in the kingdom of darkness. So this is oftentimes one of those areas that we don't understand, and that I've just continually learned about in the last decade or so, more and more its reality. And that is that just because we are legally in the kingdom of light and we have been moved out of the kingdom of darkness, we can still be held under the power at times of the works of the evil one, the works of the kingdom of darkness. A woman that was part of a prayer time with one time, she's given full permission to be able to share this. In the midst of it, she was struggling. She couldn't get free from some of the works of the darkness. There were struggles in her faith. She just couldn't get past them. She loved Jesus. Was a believer in Jesus. Wasn't a salvation issue in any way, but there were just things in her life she couldn't get over. And in the midst of this prayer time, a demonic spirit began to speak about what was going on in this woman's life. And why? Why this demonic spirit had influence, and why this woman was in bondage. And the reason was, she never told me to leave. She never told me to leave. Though legally, that demon had no right to be in that person's life because they had been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that demon still stuck around simply because she had never said, I don't want you in my life anymore. See, the enemy doesn't play fair. Just because Jesus has won doesn't mean he's given up. And so in baptism, baptism can become one of those times where we not only say, yes, I've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, but where we can declare, I no longer want the works of darkness in my life, and I renounce everything that was a part of that, which means progressively there's going to need to be repentance from those acts that were in the kingdom of darkness before. You can't get free from that from which you are not willing to let go of. Let me say that again. You cannot get free from those things that you are not willing to repent of and let go of. It just doesn't work like that. If I say, I no longer want to be a liar, I no longer want to lie and lie and lie, but every time I get put in a hard spot, I'm like, I lie. I'll tell the wrong thing to get out of it. If there's a demon attached to that, that demon's not going to leave. Why? Because I don't want to be done with lying. If it's lust, or if it's cheating, or if it's whatever it is, if I'm not ready to be done with that, that demonic spirit will not say, okay, I'm out of here. Just because we have been transferred legally from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, they will not go until we're ready to say, I'm done with that. We repent of it. We make changes to move into the new way of life in the kingdom. We have to live according to the kingdom of light to be free of the works of the darkness. Does that make sense? And so in baptism, it becomes one of those opportunities for us to say, not only have I legally been brought into the kingdom, not only have I legally been rescued out through the blood of Jesus, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, forgiven of my sin, not only, but I am also ready to be done with that way of life. And I renounce those works, and I'm saying it's Jesus and his kingdom forever and ever. That's the way I'm going. So baptism can become one of these huge, huge moments in our lives where we say, yes, I move from death to life. Yes, I move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, but I am done with the works of the kingdom of darkness that I once was involved in. And there could be some powerful encounters with God in those baptism waters, not because they're magic, but because a declaration we're saying, I'm done with that, and I'm moving to Jesus holy. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. New creation. Last, changed from death to life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from what you were to what you are. Baptism declares change from what we were to what we are. Back to 1 Corinthians, last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 through 11. So Paul is writing this. Oh, by the way, let me just go back real quick. That woman that we're talking about in the prayer time, she renounced those things and that demon left and never came back. So just, there's power in the name of Jesus, but we have to be ready to be done with it. Okay, just need to finish that story. Don't want to leave you hanging out there. So change identity from what you were to what you were to what you are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is writing to a group of believers that they're not living according to what they now are. They're living according to what they once were. And the issue was they're suing each other. They're bringing lawsuits into a secular court against other believers. So imagine this. Imagine if I had a problem with Jake and we didn't try to work it out. I didn't try to talk to anybody else. I just said, Jake, I'm taking you to court. I'm suing you. How would that look to the world? Those Christians can't even figure out how to get through their problems. So Paul's saying, don't worry about that. You figure it out in the church, wherever problems you have. And the big reason he's saying this is not just this is what you do. The reason why is this. In verse 9, he says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? What he's saying is this. You're living according to the ways of your former life. You're living according to wickedness. You're living according to the kingdom of darkness. You're living according to what you once were. You're not living according to who you now are. So he says this, don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. In all of these areas, there's something that is common with all of them. They're sinful practices that are according to the ways of the kingdom of darkness, the ways before Christ, but they have become how they have identified themselves. The sexually immoral, the adulterer, the male prostitute, the homosexual offender, the thief, the greedy, the drunkard, the slanderer, the swindler. These are all saying this is who you are. And when you are enslaved in the kingdom of darkness, when you are dead, when you were before, that is where you got your identity. I am a... Put your sin there. That's who I am. That's what sin does to you. That's what the power of the enemy does to you. That's what the power of death does to you. It labels you and identifies you by your sin. So that we end up hearing people say, I am an adulterer. I am LGBTQ. I am a thief. I am an addict. I am a cheat. I am an abuser. I'm a slanderer. This is who I am. We hear that, right? And in many of these, it's like that's what you get celebrated. This is who you are. It's not what you do, it's who you are. When the power of sin has you, when the power of death has you, when the power of the enemy has you, these don't just become the things you do, they become the things that you are. And what our world does and what the enemy wants to do is say that is good and celebrate those things. But listen, here's what Paul says in verse 11. He said, and that is what some of you, if you have scripture open, what does it say? Say it real loud. Were. That is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified, set apart to God. You were washed with the blood of the Lamb. You were sanctified, set apart to God. You were justified, which is legally being made right, declared innocent before a holy, perfect God of all your sin. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Friends, your position has changed, and as a result, your identity has changed. This is who you were, but it's not who you are anymore. Friends, the enemy would love to hold us captive by the things that we once were. Sometimes we need to make those clean breaks and we need to say, that's who I was, but it's not who I am. But other times the enemy is just going to whisper, you're nothing more than an adulterer. You're nothing more than a thief. You're nothing more than an abuser, a slanderer. You're nothing more than, and he will identify you by your sin. But Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, says, no, I've washed them in my blood. I've sanctified them. I pulled them away, and they are now set apart to God. They are the children of God. They're a son or a daughter of God. They are now justified. There's only one person who can condemn you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he stands for you, when he has received you, there is no one left to condemn you. There is no one left to bring a charge against you because the one who can says, I have forgiven them. They're justified. They have been bought with a price. My blood, they belong to me. Who they were, that's who they were. Who they are, that's who I say they are. And friends, if we can begin to get our heads around who God says we are and not who we once were, it sets us free. And baptism is an opportunity for us to be able to say, both positionally and progressively, this is who I was. But praise be to God, he's washed me in the blood of the Lamb. He sanctified me and set me apart to God. He's justified me, legally made me right with the Father through the name and the authority of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's not who I am anymore. I am a child of the King. That's good news. And baptism becomes an awesome opportunity for us to be able to declare, this is what I once was, but this is who I am. This is who I am. From what you were to what you are. It really is an identity issue. How we identify ourselves. We're children of the King. We belong to Jesus. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. We're forgiven, we're loved, we're in him. A story was told of a London businessman by the name of Lindsay Clegg, who told the story of a warehouse property that he was selling. The building that he was selling had been empty for months. And so as a result, it needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors, had smashed the windows, had thrown trash all over the inside. It was a mess. As he showed the prospective buyer the property, Clegg took pains to be able to say that he would replace the broken windows and he would bring in a crew to correct any structural damage that had happened as it was vacant, and that he would make sure that all the garbage was cleaned out. This would just be, it wouldn't be part of the price. This would just be what would take place. So don't envision this building that way. The buyer looked at him and said, you know what, forget about the repairs. Forget about cleaning it up. Because when I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different on it. He said, I don't want the building. I want the site. See, friends, a lot of times we think God wants to just clean things up. He wants to completely transform who you are. See, he's not interested in the mess that we bring. He's interested in what he's going to build in Christ in our lives. Because he is the one who brings us from death to life. He is the one who transfers us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He is the one who says, what they once were, that's not who they are anymore. They are a child who I deeply love. They are defined by me, not by the things they did. And baptism becomes an awesome opportunity for us to celebrate that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Those old things, death, darkness, what you were, are gone in position. There's a new identity in town. And that is life, kingdom of light, and who you are in him. And from here on out, he wants to bring those truths and those new realities into a greater reality in your life and transform you with them so that you become more and more like Jesus. Baptism says, yes, I'm in. This is what he's done, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do. It's exciting stuff, isn't it? To stir our hearts with excitement for next Sunday to be able to celebrate what God has done, what God is doing, and oh, we can only imagine what God is going to do in the lives of those who he's working in. So come ready to celebrate next week. Amen? Amen. As the worship team comes, let me close us in prayer. And we will sing in praise to our God, the one who has set us free. Father, we do rejoice in you. Father, we rejoice that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, that the old is gone, The new has come. Father, death once reigned. Now life reigns. And Father, in the name of Jesus, for each person who has said yes to you, Lord, I pray that there would be new expressions of the life of Christ, the life that he has purchased, that would begin to develop in their lives. Ways that life has not been seen, that it would come. I bless your people with new life in the name of Jesus. Father, we rejoice that we were once dead. Now we have life. Father, we rejoice as well that we were once in the kingdom of darkness, but now we have been rescued and brought into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son you love through his redemptive work on the cross by his shed blood. So, Father, we bless the new ways that you would bring freedom from the behaviors and the patterns of the kingdom of darkness. New expressions of freedom, new stories of deliverance, new stories of light breaking through where darkness still has power in our lives. Father, I bless your people with light, the light that is in the kingdom. And Father, we praise you that we are not what we once were, that you have made us to be your sons and daughters in Christ. So Father, we bless in the name of Jesus new discoveries of identity in Christ. And leaving behind those things that once defined us, those titles that once defined us, those sins that are way in the past that are still seeking to define us today, that we would move past. There'd be new stories of ways in which new breakthroughs of who I am in Christ are known. Father, I bless your people with the deep assurance that they are in Christ. And Father, I pray for any today who would say, I still don't know that I've ever moved from death to life, that I've ever moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that I ever was something that I was before, but now I am this now. Father, I pray that you would stir up a hunger in them to say, Jesus, I need this. I need not just this, I need you, because you're the one who does this. So Father, even now in this place, those who may be watching, Lord, I pray that your spirit would move in such a way that for any who are still in death or in darkness or what they used to be, that they would come to the one who brings us to life, who brings us into the kingdom of light, and who makes us a child of God. So Father, I pray for new birth to come for those who are in need of you, Jesus. For fresh rescue, for first time rescue, and for a new identity. We love you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. We look forward to what you will do as we celebrate baptism next week. May it give great glory to you for your work. And may it also be a transformative time, a line in the sand time to say, I have decided, yes, I am a follower of Jesus and I want everyone to know. We love you. We worship you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.